We're holding Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, the sixth line. We learned yesterday that the first of the 11, or 10 or 11, depending how we count them, Milas Bakardesh, the things where we say that we're more machmir with Kodshim than with Truma, the first one of them was we said that Machbilin Kalim Besech Kalim, that when it comes to Truma, to preparing Kalim for using with Truma, you can tova one Kali inside another, but not when it comes to Kodesh. And we said two reasons why. Rabbi Ila said the reason is because the inner Kali may weigh down on the outer Kali, and then you have Chatzitza. And Rava said the reason is because we're concerned that the opening of the outer Kali may be narrower than Shreferes Hanoid, the size of the tube that they would put into, you know, the standard size tube that they would put in those days into a wineskin or something. Where that's the minimum size for combining together water inside the keli and out, so that the water inside the keli is considered part of the water of the mikveh. So therefore, we're concerned that the outer keli may have an opening narrower than that, and he's totaling small kalim in there, and therefore it's not going to be counted as though they were in the mikveh, even though the water is physically connected. So the Gemara says, "My ikka ben de rava l'drav ila." Now, what's the practical difference between these two reasons? Whether the reason is because the inner keli will weigh down on the outer one, or whether because the outer keli may have too narrow an opening? And the answer is the ikka ben de salva gargusni. The nafkamina would be if you have a basket, or salva is a regular size basket, a gargusni is a very large basket. Specifically, Rashi says that they use it to strain wine when they're pressing wine. They use a gargusni as a strainer to strain out the wine from, I guess, all of the grape peels or whatever that would be mixed into it. So gargusni is that. So if you take those shemilon kalim vehit bilon, if you fill up such a container with kalim and then you tovel them. If you say the problem is of chatzitza, that they may weigh down on the keli, then you still have this, which is Rabbi Ila's opinion, then you have the same problem, because it's a very large basket, fine, but nevertheless, the kelim are still going to be heavily on top of it, and therefore they're going to be a chatzitza. But if we say the problem is, as Rava says, Xera, because you might tovel them in a keli that has a very narrow opening, well, then that's not a problem. Well, then a salo gargusni, which don't have an opening the size of Shreferes Hanoid, they have a much wider opening. Leka. So then there's no problem toveling kalim inside them, according to Rava. So Rashi learns that it means it would be tohur even for Kodesh. When we're saying in the Mishnah that you can't tovel kalim inside kalim, that means when you're talking about when it's a regular, when the outer keli is a regular keli, and conceivably it might not have an opening the size of Shreferes Hanoid. But Rashi says Rava would learn that when it comes to if you're toveling them inside a salo gargusni, then it would be fine even for Kodesh. Tosfos over here discusses that we're saying that a nafkamina is the size of the opening in the container, whether it's a salo gargusni or something else. Why don't we say very simple that there's a nafkamina if the two kalim are tame, then if we say the potential problem is chatzitza, then neither of them is going to become tahor. If you say the potential problem is Shreferes Hanoid, then fine, the inner one may not be tahor, but the outer one will be tahor. And Tosfos answers that actually, as we said in our Mishnah, that we are in fact talking about, to begin with, where the outer one is tahor and the inner one is tamei. Therefore, the Gemara can't bring that as a nafkamina between them, because in fact, we're not talking about where both of them are tamei. A couple of things about that. Marsha understands Rashi to be saying when it comes to Truma, we're not making the Gzeira at all. Even though there is the potential problem of Shreferes Hanoid, by Truma, we're not making that Gzeira at all. So by Truma, whatever Kali you total inside another Kali would be fine. Only when it comes to Kodesh do we have these distinctions, and then we're saying that depends whether the thing has the size of Shreferes Hanoid. But again, in the Mishnah, Rashi had understood we're talking about even when both Kalim are Tomei, then we would still make the Gzeira. Tosfos and also the Rambam learn that we're talking about specifically when the outer one is Tahor, if the inner one is Tomei, if the outer one is Tomei, then they would say that there's never any problem doing it anyway, because once the outer one is becoming Tahor, so is the inner one. Obviously, you do need to have Shreferes Hanoid, but we're not going to make a Gzeira in case it might not have. Actually, the Ture Evan brings up an interesting point in this regard. If we were to say that, let's say the case is that it doesn't have the size of Shreferes Hanoid, therefore the inner Keli doesn't become Tomei, therefore the inner Keli remains Tomei, well, wouldn't the water that's touching that Keli in turn be Metame, the outer Keli, and then we would say both of them are Tomei, and then it would work? Well, actually, no. We're talking about where the opening is more than Shreferes Hanoid. So we're saying, if Tosfos is saying that Rashi is saying that we're talking about when both Kalim are Tomei, Tosfos is the one who's learning that we're talking about it doesn't work. So Tosfos is the one who's learning that it doesn't work when the outer one is Tahor, the inner one is Tomei. So the Torah Evan says, well, according to Tosfos, why can't we have? The opening is wider than Shreferes Hanoid, fine, but the inner Keli is Tomei. As soon as the water hits it, then it's Metame, that water that it touches. In turn, that water is Metame, the outer Keli. There you go, both of them are Tomei, and now it should work, even for Kodesh. And the answer is because that kind of thing, that because it's going to be Metame one, that they're because Tevila helps for one, therefore it helps for the other, is only going to help by Tumas Daraisa. Here, when we're talking about where it only becomes Tomei with liquids, which is a Tumas Darabanan, then it's not necessarily going to work. Okay, so the Gemara says, but as the Rava L'taymei, now Rava is going according to his own Svara, when he says that you are allowed to Tovel Kalim in a Salar Gargusni, and there's no problem in it. So Rava says, Salar Gargusni Shemilam Kalim, if he fills them up with Kalim, V'itbilam, and he tovels them in a mikveh, Tahurim, then they're Tahur. So now, according to the B'ilah, that wouldn't work, because according to the B'ilah, you still have the problem that they might weigh down on the surface of the basket and be a problem. But according to Robert, if the only problem is Shreferes Hanoid, well, a Salo Gargusni have an opening much wider than that. And Robert says, here's another din, Umikva Shacholke, the Salo Gargusni. Suppose you have a mikveh, and in the middle of it, you put a Salo Gargusni. Now that divides the mikveh in half. Then, Hatovel Shomle also Loitz Villa. Then if a person tovels in such a mikveh, which now you have the two mikvahs on either side, do not have 40 star, so then the tvila doesn't count. Even though the Salo Gargusni have a lot of holes in them, and the holes should allow the water to mix together, and it should be considered one big kosher to mikveh, but, says Rava, we don't say that. And after all, he says, I can prove to you that we don't say that, that just because there are holes in there that it should count. After all, you consider the ground as a whole is porous. Whenever you have water coming out of the ground, you have it, it comes from some big river elsewhere. We still don't say that it's considered connected to the river. You need to have 40 saw here. Well, you need to have 40 saw here, but in it, you can mem sub makamachot. You have to have 40 saw in one place. So therefore, so the fact that the ground is porous doesn't help us. The same way, the fact that the salo gargusni are porous doesn't help us. Nevertheless, the two mikvahs do not combine. Actually, there are a number of the poskim say, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that if the total amount of the holes, if the total area of the holes equals Shreferes Hanoid, then actually you'd be good. The Chacham Tzvi actually argues on that based on our Gemara. So the halacha technically is like this, is like the other poskim. Nevertheless, they try to be machmir by mikvahs. We try to be machmir according to all opinions. So they do take the Chacham Tzvi's opinion into account as well. Anyway, so we see that even though the Sal and Gargusni have holes in them, but Rava is saying the holes are not enough to combine together to consider that the two mikvahs now are considered to be touching each other, and therefore that they should be considered one big mikvah. On the other hand, a different din with Sal and Gargusni, which was more what relevant to our sugya, was we were saying that he's saying you can tovel kalim inside them, and it would work even for Kodesh. So the Gemara says, "Habahani mili b'kli tohu." Now, all of this that we're saying that you can't tovel a keli inside another keli for kodesh is talking about when the outer keli is tohu. Aval b'kli tome, but if the outer keli is tome, nigo de salka tvila l'kulei gufe de mana. Once we're saying that tvila helps for the entire outer keli, salka luhunami l'kelim de isde, then it will also work for the kelim that are inside of it. So then it would work even for kodesh. And we know that the Tanan, because in fact we learn something to that effect in a Mishnah in the Klos. Kalim shemilam kalim. If you fill up kalim with other kalim, the bilon, and then you tovel them all in mikvah, harei lo tohurin, then all of them are tohur. The im loy toval. Now if he did not tovel, which means, now what does it mean he didn't tovel? The Gemara is going to say soon. It means if he didn't need to tovel it, mayim hamu'urabim, then you have the water that's mixed with the mikvah. We're going to explain in a second what the Mishnah means, because the way the Mishnah is phrased sounds a little awkward. So, im lo tovel, if you didn't tovel, mayim hamu'urabim, then the water that's mixed together means ad shiyu mu'urabim k'shaferes hanoid, then they have to be mixed. To the extent of shaferes hanoid, you have to have at least that size opening between one and the other. So, when it says my comma, what does the Mishnah mean? My comma, im lo tovel, what does it mean if you didn't tovel? We're talking about you are toveling it. And the answer is it means hoch comma. If the scenario is that you don't have to tovel the outer keli because the outer keli itself is tohar, and umayim hamu'uravim, so now you want to now you want to make the inner kelim tohar using the water that's coming into the outer keli and saying the inner kelim are in that water, therefore it should be good. Then achiyum uravim kishuferes hanoi. Then it needs to be mixed to the extent of shaferes hanoid, meaning in other words, the opening of the outer keli needs to be at least that size. So we see exactly what Rava is saying, that when the outer keli is tome, then once the outer keli becomes toher, so do the inner keli. And then we don't even necessarily need to worry about shaferes hanoid. Because of migui, because we say once the outer keli becomes tahor, so do the inner kelim inside it. On the other hand, if the outer keli is loy tova, I mean it didn't need to be tovel, then you need shreferes hanoid in order to be matahar the kelim inside it. Okay, the Gemara points out v'hoda rova udura ila tanoi. Now, so we went through Rav Ilo's opinion and Rava's opinion about why in our Mishnah you're not allowed to be mafil kelim besof kelim. Rav Ilo because they might weigh down on the outer keli, and Rava because the outer keli might have an opening narrower than shreferes hanoid. So the Gemara says v'hodir de Rava u'de Rav Ilo tanoidi. This is actually machlokes tanoim of how to understand this din. The Tanya sal v'gargusni shemilan kelim. A regular basket or gargusni, a large basket, shemilam kelim, where you fill them up with kelim, v'itbilan bein lakodesh bein latruma, and then you tovel them, whether you're toveling them for kodesh or for truma, tohorin, then either way they're tohor, abashol, latruma, avaloy lakodesh, and abashol says only for truma and not for kodesh. So we see Rav Ilo, who's saying the problem is chatzitza, so he would say it's a problem for kodesh, that you might have had a chatzitza. Rava is saying the problem is shreferes hanoid, since it's a salam galgusni, there's no problem with that, so therefore that's what we're saying. So the Tanakama would say toru, even for kodesh, because he's following Rava's reason. Abashol would follow Rav Ilo's reason and say that therefore it's not good for kodesh. Actually, Tosfos wonders why not. I mean, we're talking about the Dieved already over here, where he tobled them, Vihit Bilon. So why would we say the Dieved that it's no good? But Tosfos leaves it Tzorachim. Okay. So now the question is, okay, so now that we established all of that, so fine, we understand now that there are reasons why not to be Makbel Kalim Besoch Kalim. So now the question is, Yehochi Trumanami. Well then, whether the problem is chatzitza, whether the problem is shreferes hanoid, why indeed should we not make the same zera for truma? And the answer is l'man kamrinan. The answer is because after all, who are we talking about? These dinim we're talking about chaverim. Necessarily, we're talking about these dinim that we're talking about over here are addressed to chaverim. as we said yesterday and the day before, chaverim are people who are careful in Tumah v'Tahara. Really, the proper term for them, the proper general term for them is prushim, because they're careful to separate themselves from the Ami Haaretz. But the Gemara often, sometimes the word prushim was used in kind of a derogatory sense by the Tzedukim and by others. So therefore, the Chachamim, where possible, preferred to use the word chaverim, which has a positive connotation, that they're all friendly, they're all part of one companionship because they don't have to stay apart from each other. So chaverim, necessarily, when we're talking about these dinim in the Mishnah, necessarily we have to be talking about to a chaver. Because after all, an Ami Haaretz who is not careful in the dinim of Tumah v'Tahara is not going to come in the first place to ask what he should do with his kelim. Well then, chaverim made a yadi. Well then, the answer is, chaverim know about the problem of chatzitza. They know about the problem of sheferes hanoid. So they'll be careful to avoid those things. Therefore, we don't have to make a zera when it comes to Tumah. Well, then the question is, Yochi Kodesh Nami, nu, then the same thing should apply to Kodesh as well. Again, obviously we're talking about the dinim of our Mishnah are addressed to a chaver. So once we're talking about a chaver, then what's the difference, Truma or Kodesh? And the answer is, Chazile Ami Haaretz. Fine, we're talking about a chaver himself, but what's going to happen is, if the chaver goes and toivels Kalim inside Kalim, the Ami Haaretz is going to see the Ozo Matvil, and he's going to go and do the same thing and not pay attention to the weight of the inner Kali or to the opening or the size of the opening of the outer Kali. So it's not so much that we're worried that the chaver might not be careful with it, we're worried that the Ami Haaretz might see what he's doing and copy it, not realizing the details. Well, then we're back to Truma Nami, Chazilei Ami Haaretz V'Ozo Matvil, nu, and don't you have the same problem with Truma, that the Ami Haaretz is going to do it? And the answer is, Loi Mekablin and Minayhu. The answer is, in general, precisely for that reason, we do not accept Truma from an Ami Haaretz. We're always concerned, as we're going to discuss as we go through the Perek, that when an Ami Haaretz touches something, it's Tomei Misafik, because the Ami Haaretz, the Chachamim declared that the Ami Haaretz are Tomei because they don't know the Dinim of Tumah v'Tahara, so they may well have become Tomei without realizing it. So therefore we say that anything that an Ami Haaretz touches becomes Tomei. And therefore, in fact, we're not able to accept Truma from them precisely for that reason, because they may well have been the Tamei, the Truma, while they were touching it. So then in that case, in the first place, there's no problem. If an Ami Haaretz sees a Chaver toveling Kalim like that, and the Ami Haaretz goes and copies it, there's no problem that now we Chaverim are going to end up accidentally eating Truma that was Tomei, because we're not accepting Truma from them anyway. Rashi explains there is an exception to that, which we're going to learn later on in the Perek. It's called the Shasa Gitzos Vabadim, the time of year when people are pressing their grapes for wine and pressing their olives for oil. During those times, the chaverim work to be metaher the Ami Haaretz and their equipment such that they can take off truma v'tahara. But if they give the truma right there on the spot, then good, we can accept it from them. But if they then bottle it up or barrel it up and then later on want to bring it to us, then it's not good because we're concerned that they may have been metameh at some point. Tosfos says not really. What we're actually talking about is during the Yomim Tovim, which again we're going to talk about. We touched on before. We're going to talk about further on in the Perek that during the Yomim Tovim, during the Sholosh Regalim, we consider the Ami Haaretz to be Tahar again because they have a responsibility to become Tahar, and we assume that they did and that they're careful with Tahara throughout the Yomim. Ko Yisrael Chaver. Whatever the case, so there are times. Good morning, Aaron. There are times when we accept Truma from Ami Haaretz, but most of the time we don't. So therefore, if the Ami Haaretz winds up toveling his kalim the wrong way and using them for Truma, it's not really a concern of ours. There's no possibility that we're going to end up eating Truma that's Tomei. So therefore, we don't have to make these gzeiras on Truma, because on kalim for Truma, the Chaver will know to be careful, and the Ami Haaretz, if he copies the Chaver, no big deal, because his food is considered to be Tomei anyway. Well, the question is, Kodesh Nami Lo Nekabel Minayu. By that logic, we shouldn't accept Kodesh from them either. And the answer is, Havile Eva. The problem is, then they're going to resent us. Well, but then we're back to the question, Truma Nami Havile Eva. Nu, and if we don't accept Truma from them, aren't they going to resent us also? And the answer is no. That's not a problem. I'm a Oretz isn't going to care. The Koyan who's a Chover doesn't want to accept my Truma. Big deal. The Ozo Yoiv, the Koyan Amma Oretz Chaveret. Fine, I know another Koyan who's an Amma Oretz who's like me. He's not picky about these things. He thinks the Chachamim are too machmer on these things. So I'll give my Truma to him and he can eat it. So therefore, if Amma Oretz sees that the Chover is not accepting his Truma, it's not going to cause Ava. It's not going to cause bad feelings between them. On the other hand, Kodesh, as we're going to say, is not. Because with Kodesh, there's only one base in Mikdash. So therefore, and the Gemara is going to explain in a second. So we can't start having that we're going to accept Kodesh only from some people and not from others. That's going to create a rift among the Jewish people. So the Gemara says, Uman Tana Dechayesh La'eva. Well, who is the Tana who actually is concerned about this matter of Eva? And says that, and says that where Ava is an issue, then we can relax some of the dinim, given that the dinim themselves are only drabbanon anyway. Darais, after all, we don't have to be choishesh the fama or it's a tame. The whole thing is only drabbanon. So which Tana would say that? Rabbi Yossi. So that would be according to Rabbi Yossi, Tanya. Amr Rabbi Yossi, mipnei ma hakol ne monin al taras yain v'shemen kol yomais hashana. Why is it that even now we just said that when it comes to Truma, we're trusting the Amei Oretz only certain times of the year, only during the pressing season, only during the Yomim Tovim. On the other hand, when it comes to wine or oil for Nesachim or for Menachos, that we accept from the Amei Oretz all year round. Rashi brings from later that we're going to have later on in our parak that we say that in Yehuda, which is the area, the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, so the area that's within a fairly close distance of Yerushalayim, then we can trust the Amei Oretz about the tara of their wine and oil all year round. So Rabbi Yossi says, why? Given that they're Amei Oretz, don't we have a concern that they might have been metamei it by touching it? Well, the reason is, Kadesh lo yehei kol echad ve'echad ho'ylucho boina boma la'atmoi. We don't want that every person is going to go build a boma for himself. And of course, we're talking about a time after the Beis Mikdash was built where bomas are forever also. So we don't want that. Amar Oretz is going to say, hey, you don't want my wine and oil? What, my standards of kashrus, my standards of tara aren't enough for you? Fine, I'll go build my own Beis Mikdash and bring my korbanos over there. We don't want that. The sort of pora adruma la'atmoi. We don't want him to be burning a pora adruma for himself, which means two things. Number one, it means for the same reason Tosfos says, we also say that we trust Amei Oretz regarding things involving pora adruma. Now, even though we said in our Mishnah, we said in previously on Yud Ches Amud Beis, big day oichle kodesh midras lechatas, that even people who are eating kodshim are considered tame relative to chatas, and we have a whole bunch of milas and then chumras and whenever that comes to chatas, meaning pora adruma, but we have a kula in it, namely that if an Amma Oret says that this keli is tahor to the standards to be used for chatas, then we can trust him. So why? Same idea, because we don't want it to be sort of part of Atzmai. We don't want it to be saying, what, it's not good enough for you, my standards of Tara, I know what I'm doing, so you're not going to listen to me, I'm going to go make my own part of Adruma and follow my own rules, and we don't want that. There's a Tosfos Yom Tov in Masechta Parah that learns a little bit differently. He says the vote is, if we tell him we don't trust the Tara of your wine and oil, he's going to say, why? Because you think I'm tummy mess? Fine, I'll go burn my own part of Adruma and make myself Tahor, and then you'll have to accept my wine or oil. Whatever the case, Rabbi Yossi is saying that because of that consideration, we have to accept wine and oil from Amei Oretz for Nesachim, for Kodshim, and we have to trust them on Parah Adruma. So we see that Rabbi Yossi holds of this concept of Eva, that if you don't do that, then it's going to cause a rift among the Jewish people. So by the same token, therefore, so that's what we're saying. Therefore, Kodesh we have to accept from them. Truma we don't have to accept from them because there's no Ava. Truma is a decentralized thing. Every Kohen gets Truma, every farmer gives Truma individually and every Kohen receives it individually. So therefore, if a Chover is not willing to accept the Truma from the Amei Oretz will say, no problem, I know plenty of Kohen and Amei Oretz who are willing to accept it. So by the way, the Gemara says, Amar Papa, Kiman Mekablin and Ha'idna Sadusa Me'amoret. Which opinion are we following when nowadays we accept Eidus from an Amoret? Meaning, as opposed to, Rashi says, there's a Gemara in Psochim where it says that we don't accept Eidus from an Amoret. So Kiman Kirab Yossi. Who would be that? Who would that be like? Like Rabbi Yossi. Because Rabbi Yossi is saying that we're Choshesh for Eva. So by the same token, By the same token, according to WIC, we would say that even though maybe technically an Amoritz is not kosher l'edus, because we don't know, he might conceivably be lying, but Rabbi Yossi is saying that based on what Rabbi Yossi is saying, we don't have to worry about that. Now, Tosfos first of all points out that we do in fact follow Rabbi Yossi in that, and we are choshesh for Eva in, for example, this matter of the wine and oil and the parah adruma and so forth. By the same token, for example, even though there's a Gemara in Brachas that says that you can't have an Amoritz join in a Mezuman, nevertheless, we don't follow that. We follow what Rabbi Yossi is saying. Implicit in what Rabbi Yossi is saying is whenever there's a concern of Eva, then we're allowed. Therefore, we're allowed to have an Amoritz join a Mezuman. Tosfos points out a different point also. When do we say that you can't have an Amoritz join a Mezuman? Would be when it's a Talmid Chacham who's part of the Zimun. Well, we don't say that we're such high caliber Talmid Chachamim that should be even a problem for us. So that's another reason to be mocked at it. As far as Eidos, in fact, now you have, there is that Gemara in Pesachim that says that you can't accept Eidos for an Amoritz. However, the Rif says over there, we're not just talking about a run-of-the-mill Amoritz. In general, in Shas, we have the word Amoritz many times. Most of the time, it refers to somebody who just he's a good yid. He does whatever he knows how to. But he's an Amoritz. He never learned Torah, and therefore he doesn't know the ins and outs of a lot of dinim. So he's careless in a lot of dinim, not because he's a bad guy, but just because he never learned. On the other hand, you have a kind of the Rif says the Gemara in Pesachim over there is talking about a different kind of Amoritz. The kind, or at least some of the statements over there in Pesachim, are talking about an Amoritz who doesn't even have good midas. He's a ganav, he's a gazlan, or whatever. So that's the kind that we're saying that we can't accept edus from him. So according to that, it would mean, not the Ram says, in that case, not necessarily, when all Gemara is saying that we accept edus from Amoritz only like Rabbi Yossi, doesn't necessarily mean only like Rabbi Yossi. In fact, there wouldn't be anybody who argues with him. We're just saying, the fact is, Rabbi Yossi, we see clearly from Rabbi Yossi's statement over here, that he would allow it. Doesn't necessarily mean, unlike Rashi, the Ram learns, unlike Rashi, the Chachamim would not necessarily disagree with him. So it ends up being a machlokas in Shulchan Aruch, what the dinim of that are. Is it that we're allowed to accept, we're saying, like Tosfos is saying, we follow Rabbi Yossi and we're worried about Eva. So definitely then, as long as an Amoritz, if a guy is an Amoritz, as long as he's Shomer Torah Mitzvah to the best of his ability, then for sure we can accept Eidos from him. What happens if not? Then you have him, a Cholikus Aposkim, whether you would be able to or not. So would we say that nevertheless we'd still make an exception and allow him to give Eidos, or would we say that not? Okay. Getting back to the matter of Tumah V'Tahara now.
Alexander, there's a little issue here. We seem to be mixing up the knowledge of Torah and the integrity of a person. And
so
now you can't have.
Hold on.
Let me finish a second.
Yeah.
Someone can know Torah and have no integrity whatsoever, even a Talmid Chacham. And someone can be an Amoritz and have a lot of integrity. So
as far as your first part, you're right. And of course, if we know that a Talmid Chacham doesn't have integrity, then of course we can't accept Eidos from him either. We're talking about, by default, a Talmid Chacham, we assume, is Kosher L'Eidos. Obviously, if we have reason to know that he's Kosher L'Eidos, for whatever reason, that's a different matter. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the
default. Well, that's not obvious at all, actually. Thank you for saying that.
That's what it is. There are psulei edus, which are listed in Choshen Mishpat Simon Lamed Daled, where a person does various averas. And yeah, obviously a person could be a Talmid Chacham and doing those averas. We're just talking about, by default, we assume that a Talmid Chacham, or a person who knows, even a person who knows Torah, is kosher for edus. As far as the Amoritz, again, your point is exactly what the Rif is saying, that when do we say an Amoritz is possible edus, when he doesn't have derech eretz either. When he's a ganav or a gazlan, or he doesn't have a state, or he doesn't have a job, or whatever, but when he does, the Rif would say, for sure he's kosher l'edus, and that's what the Gemara is saying over here. On the other hand, again, you have Rishonim who say that no, there are, in fact, that Gemara is in fact talking about a regular Amoritz, and the Chachamim, Rashi is saying over here, the Chachamim would in fact pass him for edus, because we assume just on the grounds that he's an Amoritz, he may not have the Erlichkeit to give honest edus. He may go and lie and base din and not have any compunctions about it. Whereas Rabbi Yossi is saying, maybe, but on the other hand, we have the problem of Eva, and therefore we have to accept edus from him.
So again, you have a machoikas, you have a machoikas aposkim about the details of that, to what in general, when the guy is an erlich yid and keeps mitzvahs, then we're saying, like Rav Yossi is saying over here, sure, we can accept edus from him, we can assume that he's an erlich guy and he's going to give honest edus. When he doesn't, then you have questions about can you accept edus from him or not. All right, let's go on with the Gemara. So getting back now to Tumah V'Tahara, the Gemara says V'Nechu Shlosha Eila. Now, why are we saying? Now, what are we saying? You can't tovel one keli inside the other for kodesh, but you could for truma. And we said the reason is because by truma we're not worried about if the Amah Oret sees what we're doing, because even if he does, his kelim are already tamei anyway, and we're not accepting truma from him. The question is, fine, we're not accepting truma from him. Don't we have a problem that we might borrow kelim from him? And the keli is not toivled properly. It's none, as in fact we learn in the Mishnah, kli cheres matzal ala kol divrei b'shilo. So we're going to go through a long thing over here. Only in the middle of the next amud are we going to get back to the point where we see from the implication of this Mishnah that there are cases where a chover can borrow kelim from an amah oretz. So now the question is, given that the amah oretz, his kelim, may not have been toivled properly because he saw a chover toivling a keli inside a keli for truma, he goes and does the same thing, but he's not careful about the kelim weighing down or shreferes anoid, and therefore his keli, his inner keli or his outer keli, is in fact not tor. Isn't there a problem that we're going to borrow it from him on the assumption that he toivled it? So we're going to go through a Mishnah in Adias over here and analyze it, and then at the end of the analysis, we're going to see how it's possible for a chover to be borrowing kelim from an amar and assume that they're tor. So it's not kli cheres matzal ala kol divrei b'shilo. So b'shilo says, if you have so we know the Torah tells us that if you have a keli that is somid posel, that's tightly covered with a seal, and that keli is in an oil mess, anything inside that keli remains tahor. So Basil is saying that applies across the board. Anything that's inside a kli cheres that's covered with a tight seal, even if it's an oil mess, it still remains tahor. Or Rashi says another example, which we're going to be using in the Gemara soon, is let's say, for example, you have a first floor in a house and a second floor. Between them, there's an opening to get from the first floor to the second floor. Now, suppose there's a mess in the bottom floor. Suppose that in the top floor, you have things that you want to remain tahor. So what do? Before the mess dies, you take a kli cheres and you put it over the opening to cover it up. So the civil saying, that helps. After all, a kli cheres does not become tameh from the outside, only from the inside. You put it with the outside facing down. So you took, let's say, an earthenware pot and put it the bottom side down on top of the opening. So good. Now it blocks the truma from going through, and therefore everything in the second floor in the attic stays tahor. That's Bishilul. Bishama says no. Einim matzil alal oichlam ala mashkim baal klei cheres. The only things that will save in either of these scenarios is food or drink or klei cheres. So if you have, so again, in Rashi's first scenario, if you have a large earthenware keli inside an oil mess, and inside it are smaller earthenware kelim or food or drinks, and the outer keli is covered with a tight seal, some impossible, then everything in it, Beshamai agrees, will remain tahor. But if you had in it other things, if you had in it, let's say, wooden or metal kelim, which could be toveled, then Beshamai would say that they actually become tahor. And the same thing in the scenario with the two floors. Beshamai would say that if you put a kli cheres there in the middle, so fine, anything that, So the food and drink that's in the attic and the klei cheres that are in the attic will remain tahor, but the people there will actually become tamei, and so will anything that could be toveled, wooden kelim, metal kelim, etc. So Amru Lahem Bishilu Bishamim Pema. So Bishilu asks Bishamim, why are you making this distinction? Amru Bishamim. So Bishamim answered, Mipnei Shu Tamei Agav Amoretz. Because after all, the kli cheres that we're talking about is tomei, because to begin with, the amah oretz touched it. Midrabanan, everything that an amah oretz touches is tomei. The ein kli tomei chotzit, and a kli tomei is not able to be a chatzitza. This is a basic rule in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara that when we say that a keli can be a chatzitza to prevent tumah from going from one place to another, that applies only if the keli itself is tahor. Here, Bishamai is saying the keli was previously touched by the amah oretz, therefore it's tomei. So, in fact, by the way, the Rambam and the Ravid and some other Rishonim learn that because of that, what we say is not only would that apply if the Keli belongs to an Amoret, we would apply it even if the Keli belongs to a Chaver because it's easily confused with such a Keli of an Amoret. So we would always say then that the Kli Cheres, whether it belongs to an Amoret and is in fact Tomei, or whether it belongs to a Chaver, nevertheless, we'd still say that it doesn't block the Tumah from going to the second floor. So the soul says, okay, but what are you talking about? The fact is, you're saying that the food or drink inside the keli is tahor. If you're saying the keli itself is tameh, then the food and drink in it will also not be protected from tumah. So the shamai answers them, when we say that the food and drink is tahor, what we mean is, we mean for himself, meaning nama oretz, is going to be the one eating it. The chaver is not going to be eating that food because it's food of an amaret. It's food of an amaret, and the chaver knows that food of an amaret is very likely to be tamei. So therefore, so we can allow the food itself to remain tahor because it doesn't really matter where even if we suppose that it did in fact become tamei, that the outer keli really is tamei. Nevertheless, it doesn't matter. A chaver is not going to be eating such food anyway. Ava l'taras akli, but says Beis Shammai, it's a question. Avon the taris actually. Do you want us to be matahar the keli? Shetaharose loch v'loy. Where after all the tara is for both you and him. Where you might borrow the keli from him. So in other words, so the Shammai is saying. So let's say for example again, there's a wooden keli inside this kli cheres or in the attic that is blocked by this kli cheres. Conceivably, in the future, you, a chaver, might well borrow that wooden keli from the Amoritz, figuring that it's tahor, because the Amoritz will say, I toveled it, not realizing that, in fact, his kli cheres was tomei and didn't prevent the tumah from going to the wooden keli, and therefore, in fact, it needs to be sprinkled with parah aduma water. You're not going to realize that. So far we see that it is possible to borrow kelim from an Amoritz. So we're first going to go through a side discussion, understanding the Shammai's opinion, and then we're going to get back to the main point over here, which is that we should be concerned that how can we borrow kelim from an Amoritz where there's a concern that they became tamei, and again we said that maybe he didn't toivel them properly because maybe he saw a chaver toiveling his kelim and didn't pay attention to the exact details of how he toiveled it. Tosfos, by the way, wonders. I mean, anyway, it's tamei because the Amoritz touched it. So Achronim explained, I think the Chorei Evan or the Siach Yitzchak, I don't remember, explained that, the vote is, in other words, that, fine, obviously we're going to have to tovel it. Because it was touched by an Amoret. But the point is, at least we don't have to be concerned that it actually became Tomei Mess, which would require Hazah. So that's the thing. We're saying what would happen if we borrow it from him? Suppose it did become Tomei Mess. And he had it sprinkled and toveled, but the toveling wasn't done properly because he didn't realize that he has to make sure it doesn't weigh down on the outer keli, or that the opening of the outer keli is shreferes anoid. And now we're going to be using it, and it turns out that it was tamei because it hadn't gone through the full process of tara. So the Gemara says, Tanya, Omer of Yeshua, Boishani Medivreichem Beis Shammai. Rabbi Yeshua says, I'm embarrassed about your words, Beis Shammai. What you're saying, Rabbi Yeshua is saying, doesn't seem to make any sense. Let's consider the case. We said that there's a case with two floors in a house where you block the skylight, you block the opening between them with a kli cheres. So what is Beis Shammai saying? Efshu isha losha ba'areva. Imagine then you have a woman standing on the second floor over there and kneading dough inside a tray where the tray or the bowl is made out of wood. You're telling me isha ba'areva tmei and shiva u'botzik tahor. You're telling me that the woman and the wooden trough are going to be tamei for 7 days, the full tumas nes, and you're going to say the dough that was inside there, the dough that she herself is handling, and the dough that's constantly touching that bowl should remain tahor. Doesn't seem to work. Similarly, Rabbi Yeshua says, Lugin mole mashkin. If you have a bottle or a container of wood, let's say, full of liquid in that attic, are you telling, or inside that kli cheres, are you telling me lugin tome tumas shiva or mashkin tahorin? You're telling me the bottle would be tome tumas nes and the liquid inside it would remain tahor? Doesn't work. How does such a thing work? Well, the Gemara says, Nitbol a Talmud Echom, a Talmud of Beis Shammai. A Talmud of Beis Shammai met up with Rabbi Shua. Nitbol literally means he attached himself to him. So like he came over to talk to him. So he asked him, can I tell you the reason of Beis Shammai? Rabbi Yeshua says, go ahead. So the Talmud of Beis Shammai starts, let's establish some basics. Is a keli, is a kli that's tome, does that block tumah from going from point A to point B or not? And Rabbi Yeshua says, of course, ain't a chotetz. We know it's not chotetz. And the Talmud of Beis Shammai continues, kli shel ha'aretz tome or tahor. Now, this keli of the ha'aretz, is it tome or tahor? Amalei tome. So Rabbi Yeshua says, of course, it's tome. So that establishes why it's not going to block the tumah from some things. But Rabbi Yeshua is still bothered by, but why does it block the tumah from some things? Well, the Talmud of Beis Shammai says, im ata omer lo tome, if you tell the ha'aretz that his kli, that his keli is tome, klum mashgiach halacha, is he going to pay any attention to you? He's going to, what are we saying? To begin with, the kli cheres is tomei because the ha'aretz touched it. The ha'aretz himself is not going to accept that from you. He's going to say, what are you talking about? I'm not tomei. And the point is also, we have to remember, these three things that this Shammai is being attire, they can never be toiled in a mikveh. So if you're going to tell him, Mr. ha'aretz, your kli cheres is tomei, and therefore, and then he's going to say, so what do you want me to do with it? And you're going to tell him, well, I'm sorry, you can't tovel a kli cheres, you have to break it. He's going to say, go away, I don't want to talk to you. You're telling me I have to break my kli cheres because I'm an amaret? Nothing doing. As opposed to, Rashi says, if you tell him, for example, about a wooden keli, that it's tome, so he'll say, okay, you know what, fine. So all it means, I have to go to the mikveh, big deal. Tosfos learned slightly differently. Because clay cheres are always tomei, therefore a chaver will never borrow clay cheres from an amaretz, but he will borrow wooden kalim from him because they could conceivably be made tahor. All the chaver has to do is dip them in the mikveh. So the amaretz is not going to listen to you when you tell him that his kli cheres is tomei. V'loy oid, not only that, ella shim ata oimalai tomei. If you tell him your kli cheres is tomei, oimalach, the amaretz is going to say to you just the opposite. Shali tohar v'shalach tomei. My keli is tohar. Your keli may be tomei, but mine is tohar because I know what I'm doing. Because he doesn't realize even that he doesn't know what he's doing. In fact, by the way, we said before, the Rambam and the Ravid hold that the Gzera applies even to the Kalim of a Chover. Once we say it applies to Kalim of an Amaretz, then it applies to a Kalim of a Chover. So now we have more reason that the Chover is going to say, no, you don't know what you're talking about. My Kalim are Torah. Your Kalim, you're considering your own Kalim Tomei, Gesunta Hei. But I have no reason to consider my Kalim Tomei. Nothing of Tumah touched them. I myself am not Tomei. So he tells him the Zo time and Shabbos Shammai. So that's the reason why Beis Shammai is saying that this earthenware keli, this kli cheres, will not block tumah for most things. The only things that'll block tumah for are things that, in any case, can't be tovel in a mikveh, namely oichon mashkin or kli cheres. Those things cannot be tovel in a mikveh. Therefore, the amaretz is not going to even listen to you if you tell him that they're tomei. So therefore we can't make a zera on those. But the rest of the thing, and in any case, there's no problem of a chaver because the chaver is not going to borrow such things from an amaretz. So that's the reason behind Beis Shammai's opinion. So you're saying, Rabbi Yeshua, it seems very inconsistent that in the case where the woman is kneading dough over there, that the dough should be tahor and everything else should be tomei. That's why, because the dough. In fact, all of them are tomei, but the dough, we really don't have a choice. If we tell the amaretz that the dough is tomei, he's not going to throw it out just because of that. Whereas if you tell him that the woman and the trough are tomei, then fine, he'll tell the woman herself and the trough can be dipped in a mikveh and become tahor. And by the way, the Mishnah in Ohalus mentions that if in fact she takes the dough out of the trough and then puts it back in, then in fact it will be tomei as well. We only say this din as long as it's in the trough, as long as it's in the tray and she's kneading it, then we say that we're going to allow it to remain tohu. But if she takes it out and puts it back in, it will in fact become tomei. So the zero time in Shabbos Shammai, so he tells him that's the reason behind Beis Shammai's opinion. Miyad holach Rabbi Yeshua v'neshtateach al kriv Beis Shammai. Right away, Rabbi Yeshua went and bowed down to ask Mechila by the graves of Beis Shammai. This is long after Beis Shammai had lived and passed away, so by now he can't ask the Mechila in person, but he goes and asks Mechila by their grave. Omer, he says, Nan Nesi Lachem Atmes Beis Shammai. I've spoken too much against you, bones of Beis Shammai. Umas Dumas Shalachem Kach. Madach, a case of something like this, where it's very obscure and very unclear why you're saying a din, and now I got an explanation, and now I understand what you're saying fully. Mefuroshes, Alachas Kama Vakama, how much more so when you say something and it's very obvious why you're saying and why you're saying it, that we should respect your opinion. Now, it doesn't mean most of the time the halacha is not like Beis Shammai, but still Rabbi Yeshua is saying we should never put down Beis Shammai's opinion and say we don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about, because even in a case like this where it seemed very inconsistent and it seemed that there's no svara behind what they're saying, nevertheless, it turns out there's a very logical svara to it. In this particular case, actually, the Mishnah says Beis Hillel ended up conceding to Beis Shammai because Rabbi Yeshua now was told the reason behind Beis Shammai's opinion, and he understood it and accepted it. So, in fact, this is one of those rare cases where the halacha is like Beis Shammai, because in the end there was no machlokas, Beis Hillel ended up agreeing to them. And the Gemara says, Omru, they said, Kol Yomav Hushchoru Shinav Mipnei Tani Yosef. For the rest of Rabbi Yeshua's life, his teeth became black because of fasting, because he was fasting so much to for tshuva, for the fact that he had spoken in a derogatory way against Beis Shammai. Now, just to argue with Beis Shammai, of course, would have been fine, but to say this expression, I'm embarrassed at your words, which implies that you don't know what you're talking about. So now that he realized that Beis Shammai was right, then from then on, he fasted so much that his teeth eventually turned black from that. And Al Tadeva brings that in the Geras HaTshuva as an example of when we say, many times we find that Chachamim would fast for things where it's not required up the halacha at all to fast. We learned, for example, in Megillah, we had a case where Rav Huna's tefillin strap turned inside out, and he fasted a lot for it. Here we have this example of Rabbi Yeshua. So you have several examples of that where the Chachamim accepted on themselves extra voluntary fasts in order to not and the Alter Rebbe explains over there, these are fasts to come to a higher level in order to be merutz of a chaviv. Like this, a person did something wrong, and he does tshuva. Fine, Hashem is not going to punish him, but nevertheless, he still wants to be merutz of a chaviv. He still wants to be as beloved and as close to Hashem as before, so therefore he accepts on himself fast. So the Alter Rebbe says, nowadays, we can't fast for the most part, so for the most part, we give tzedakah instead, but that's the idea behind it. So this is what Rabbi Yeshua was doing. So now, katoni mias loch v'loi. So now that we went through this whole discussion, we mentioned before that Beis Shammai said that kelim that could be tovel in a mikvah are loch v'loi. They're available for the amaretz as well. They're available for you, the chaver, as well as for him, the amaretz. Alma shalinin minayu. So we see we're allowed to borrow kelim from the amaretz. So we're back to the question. Given that the amaretz may see the chaver tovel in kelim inside kelim, and he's going to go and do the same thing and not be careful with the things that could cause problems, according to Ila and Rava, then how can we borrow such a keli from him, assuming that he tovled it correctly when he didn't necessarily? And the answer is, well, fine, when we borrow the keli from him, we're going to tovle it ourselves, in case you're right, in case he didn't tovle it properly. Well, the question is, if that's the case, so why doesn't the Sillel answer Beis Shammai? You're telling me that only the clay cheres and food and drink remain tahor in that case. Everything else becomes tameh. Why isn't that when Beis Shammai says you want us to be matar kalim, which could be used by both us or them? Why doesn't the Sillel answer very simply? That we're going to tovel him anyway. So what's the problem? And the answer is because we're not just worried about something that requires tefillah. Because we're talking about a case where they might be tomei mess, where again the amaretz's kli cheres doesn't block the tumas mess from going to the wooden kalim or whatever that were in the attic, and therefore so it's not going to be enough to tovel it. You're going to need to sprinkle it with pot adama water on the third and seventh days. And most of the time when people lend out a keli like that, they're not usually lending it out for a week at a time. What kind of kelim are we talking about? You're talking about, for example, like a person needs to borrow a sieve or something like that, some small kitchenware or whatever. Normally people don't lend it out for 7 days because Amoritz can't do without it for 7 days. So therefore, you're not going to have time. So if it was just a matter of dipping it in the mikveh, fine, you dip it in the mikveh, you use it that same day, and you return it to him. But if we're talking about that it actually became tamei nes, you'd need to keep it for a week. And the Amoritz is usually not going to be willing to lend it to you for a full week. So the Gemara asks, Batvila loy mehemni. So are you telling me that? So are you telling me that we don't trust the Amei Oretz about the tvila of the kelim, and we're saying therefore that when you, if you borrow a keli from an Amei Oretz, you have to tovel it again? That's how Rashi understands the question. Tosfos understands the question somewhat differently. That we're talking about that we're going back to the discussion with Shammai Vesilo about this case of the kelim becoming tamei or not. So when we said this Hillel could answer this Shammai, we will toivel the kelim. Do we in fact have to not trust them about the tevila and require ourselves to be toiveling it? So is it in fact the case that we can't trust Amei Oretz about tevila? V'hatanya ne'emanan Amei Oretz al taras tevila smenes. We learn in a braisa that Amei Oretz are trustworthy about the tara of tevila of a tomei mess, meaning that if they say that tevila was done for someone that was tomei mess, then we can trust them. And the answer is Amar Abai, like Kasha, Haba Gufoy, Haba Caleb. There's a difference between his own body and his Caleb. His own body, when he says that he himself toiveled, then we'll believe him. But his Caleb, not necessarily. Rava Amar Aidi V'Aidi V'Caleb. Rava says both could be talking about his kelim. So we have one thing that says that he is trusted, and another one that says he's not. But like Kasha, there's no contradiction. One case could be where he says, I never troubled one keli inside another. Now, in general, we have to realize, when we say we don't trust an Amei Oretz, it's not that we think he's going to lie. It's that we think he doesn't know the dinim. So if he says flat out, I never toveled a keli inside a keli, then we can take him at his word, and therefore we can accept that the tevila that he did for his keli is valid. Whereas if he says, yes, I sometimes toveled kelim inside other kelim, but I always made sure that the outer keli has the size of sheferes hanoid. So now we say he might have been careless about that. He might have measured it carelessly or something, and really it was less than sheferes hanoid, and therefore that would be a problem. So where he says, I never toiled a keli inside a keli, then Rava says we can accept that he toiled the keli in a valid way to take off the trumas mess. On the other hand, if he says that I did sometimes toiled Caleb inside other Caleb, then no, then we can't trust that this time he did it correctly. Vaha Tanya, and indeed we learn a brisa along those lines. For example, Naman Amei Oretz loy meperes loy hukshu. We can trust an Amei Oretz to say that this particular produce was never mukshu lekabel tumah. It never became wet with any of the shiva mashkim. Avol ein nem, because again we don't assume that he's lying. Avol ein Naman loy meperes hukshu avol loy nitnu. But we don't trust him to say that, we don't believe him to say that the peres were mukshu lekabel tumah but didn't become tumah. Because once you get to becoming tumah or not, that he needs to know all the dinim, and being an Amei Oretz, he doesn't know those dinim. So the same way, we can say that we can trust the Amei Oretz to say that he never toveled kelim inside kelim, but not to say that if he did, that he knew the halachas and knew to do it correctly. Okay. So now, going back to Abaya's answer, we said in Abaya's answer that when it comes to his own body, we can trust him that he toveled properly. So now the question is, do we in fact trust him about his own body that he toveled properly after Tumas Mes? Vatanya, we learn another brisa. Chaver shabola hazes. If a chaver comes and says, I need to be sprinkled with paradrama water, then no problem. Mazin olav miyad, then we can right away sprinkle on him. Because now the sprinkling has to be done on the third day from when he became tomei, and on the seventh day. Now it could be later, but it can't be earlier. He can't, for example, have become tomei on Monday and becoming already on Monday or Tuesday for Hazar. He'd have to wait till Wednesday, which is the third day. So now, if a chaver comes and says, today is Wednesday, please sprinkle me with paradrama water because I became tomei last Monday, then we can accept him and we can sprinkle him right away. But Amei Oretz shabola hazes, but if an Amei Oretz comes, he doesn't realize that it's important to wait until the third day. Ein mazin olav ad sheyaseh b'fanein or shlishi or shvi. We can't sprinkle on him unless we see that the third day and the seventh day pass in front of us. So if he comes to us on a Wednesday and says, I want to be sprinkled with paradrama, we can't do it that day because it might not in fact be his third day. We're going to have to say, okay, today's Wednesday. But let's assume that this might possibly be your first day. Or for that matter, you might have touched Trumas Mess again on Wednesday and not even realize it. Therefore, we're going to have to wait Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Friday, we can do your first Hazah of, because that'll be your third day. So we see that even with Tumas Nes, we don't always trust the Amir Aretz. So the Gemara says, Ella, Omar Abaya. So rather, Abaya says, here's a different answer. There are actually different Yusois. Do we have the word Ella in here or not? If we don't have the word Ella, then it means that Abaya is still keeping to what he said before. There's a difference between his own body and his Kalim. If we say that, if we say Ella, then it means Abaya is changing his mind and saying that, and saying that I have a different answer when we can trust the Amar Aretz and when not. So, b'toich choymer sheikh marta ola b'tchilasei, because you're being machmer on him to begin with, we just said that when he's coming to be sprinkled, and you tell him right away that, and you tell him we can't sprinkle on you right away, we have to wait until we know it's the third day. So because of that, precisely for that, hey kalta ola b'tchilasei, then therefore that itself creates a kula to believe him at the end that he tovled, because now he's going to be extra careful to tovel because he doesn't want to have to deal with you again. He knows, look at this, I came on Wednesday to be sprinkled and they told me I had to wait till Friday. I had to lose two whole days because of that. Now, at the end of it, therefore, I'm going to be extra careful to make sure that my tefillah is 100% proper, no chatzitza, no nothing, to make sure, therefore, that the chaverim, that the chachamim are not going to have any problems with me. So therefore, so that itself allows us to trust him at that point. Whereas when we're talking about when we didn't need to be machmer on him at the beginning, then we need to be machmer on the end. Since he didn't have to go through that a whole rigmarole, then he might be careless with the tevilah, and then we can't necessarily trust that his tevilah, that of himself or his kalim, was done properly. Tosfos points out, by the way, that Tumas Nes is really not that common. So when he comes and says that his kalim did not become tamei nes, then fine, maybe we can accept that, and we only need to he says that they did not come with tumas nes, which is after all not that common. Then we say, okay, it may not be that common, but nevertheless it happened. Therefore, we still need to sprinkle it. But if he actually is coming and says, I know it became tamei nes, then maybe, in the first case, actually, we would say we would trust him. We would say, listen, okay, you know, the Tumas Nes is not that common, so we can accept you at your word that it didn't become Tumas Tumas Nes. But if he comes and tells us, as in the scenario over here, that it did become Tumas Nes, then we're going to have to tell him to wait for 3 days. Okay. So in any case, so we see, therefore, there are cases where you can borrow Kalim from an Amar Aretz and tovel them. There are otherwise cases where we have to be concerned about Tumas Nes, and we actually have to sprinkle them with part of our drum of water as well. And in some cases, therefore, we're not even going to be able to do that, because realistically, you're not going to be able to borrow the keli from him for that length of time. That is why Beit Shammai is saying, and Basil ended up agreeing with them, that we're going to make the Amar Aretz's kelim tomei in a scenario, like we said before, involving the Kli Cheres, and therefore, if you're borrowing it from him, then you're gonna have to borrow it for 7 days and sprinkle it with Kol Adam water. On the other hand, we said that Klei Cheres, you're never gonna borrow from him, because they can't be dipped in a mikveh anyway. So therefore, you're never gonna borrow from him, and therefore Beis Shammai can allow them to remain tahor. And again, therefore, so if the Amar Aretz tovled kalim, then there can be cases when we accept that his tevilah was valid. And then, for example, if he says, I never tovled one keli inside another, versus cases where we say that we can't accept that his tevilah was valid because he doesn't know the exact din. Okay. Shabbat, everyone.